morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am honored and privileged to have with me today someone, and you know this because I don't hide it, I have the greatest respect for. His name is Paul Mark. He's the state senator for our district and, let's put it this way, our district and three quarters of Massachusetts. But, Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Well, you know, for an old fat bald guy, I'm doing okay.
Well, thanks for asking.
You've been had a little bit of a break from the state house.
Yeah, a little bit. In August, things kind of slow down. I know there's people out there that think like we're just off until the end of the year, and that's not true at all. That isn't what it's like. But
no,
August
Congress.
Is, yeah,
well,
I think some people think Congress is off all year.
And they have a point sometimes.
Right.
Go ahead. No, you.
No, I was going to say, yeah, August was a little quieter, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, since September, it's just been back to work.
Well, I tell you, your accomplishments, well, really outlast your, hopefully, God, that legacy in the state house. I mean, what you have done for rural communities and brought it to the attention, and the money you've brought into transportation for schools and things like that's really that's a credit to you and your background. I think, you know, while you had a tough slug on the way up, you haven't forgotten that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely true, and I think if you look to anyone that's running for office and you look to their experiences, personal, professional, yep, you know, what they've been able to accomplish. If you meet somebody that's ridiculously busy and is always running around from event to event,
yep,
you're probably gonna get someone that is gonna act that way as well when they serve in office for you. You hope, and I try to remember as best as I can what worked for me, what didn't work for me, and you just try to do as much work as possible to try to,
yeah.
I like to say, like, to try to make sure everybody has the opportunity to finally succeed that I had. And thank you for saying about rural, because like we talk a lot about marginalized communities and people that get left behind, and there's a lot of them. Boy, there's a lot of them. But I think one that gets forgotten a lot is rural, and rural poverty is really a problem, you know. And well, I'll say, comparatively in the Berkshires, like we're doing well. You go to some of the Appalachia and down south, and they're really struggling. But so thank you. We've tried to put a lot of work in with the other members of the delegation on the House side and in the Valley as well, because I overlap with six reps, to try to get attention to rural communities in a way I've never seen before. And I think it's successful. And what you said about having some kind of a legacy, I think it's important that we never let up. We try to keep it going in building.
Well, I have to share with you, the American Legion Post Pittsfield sponsored me to go on the honor flight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. My son was my guardian, I guess, at my stage of life. I need one. But there are people who thought I've needed a guardian for many years. But anyhow, just about legacy. You know, I'm an old man now, and when they wheeled me up to that wall and that panel that I have a lot of familiar names on it, I like you said, I hope, guys, I've never let you down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's important. Our experiences shape us, and some people seem to forget maybe they weren't that well off once upon a time, or once they get through, they kind of think, well, I shouldn't let anyone else get there. And it means a lot that I know you do a lot of work in the veterans community, and it's important. And, you know, I try to do a lot for poverty and for small forgotten towns that I represent about 40 of.
Whose collective group could fit in my living room. So I mean, and I don't live in a big house, I guess the point I want to bring out to the folks is that's what you go into politics for, is to help people. not to feather your own nest.
Oh yeah,
maybe
definitely.
I'm looking at it the wrong way, but I've never known Paul Mark to feather his own nest.
No, not at all. And you're certainly not in it for money if you're doing it. If you're doing it the right way. I certainly don't struggle, and I'm lucky with that. But we certainly aren't getting rich in this job. And so yeah, it's a calling, I guess, as they say. You either really love it, and you and I were talking a little bit before.
Yeah.
To get to Boston from out in Western Mass and to get around my district. I don't think I told you this. I think since the last time we talked, I did some research. I looked up the square mileage and my district. Yeah. It's 1,676 square miles. And so I've liked to say in the past how it's bigger than, say, Rhode Island, and that remains true. It is also bigger than 30 countries on Earth. That's a lot of territory.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think you represent them all equally. And like you said, the small rural towns, I had the DA on, and, you know, it's a crazy district. It's not like Boston, right? It's Boston City, Suffolk, Norfolk. This is you have Pittsfield, you have North Adams and Adams, and then you go into the rural, and then there's rural, and in Berkshire County there's rural, you know, the real small towns, and they love their independence.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. The town of Hawley was writing to me this morning that there's only 350 people in the town of Hawley in Franklin County, and they haven't seen the bill yet, and I haven't either. I think we'll see it later in the week, but they're afraid of losing municipal control over, like, the siting of energy projects. And on one hand, like, you know, you got to respect that they really like things in Hawley the way that they are. And on the other hand, it's like three people, which is about 1% of the town, do all the stuff in town because it's so small. So they plug along, you know.
You got to be, I mean, you are the right, my opinion. And let me clear this up, okay? The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine. Those are my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the poor soul that was riding their bicycle to work this morning when it was 31 degrees on the bike trail. So I'm into biking, but in July. So lots going on. You know, I interviewed a person earlier, and, you know, we had this federal funding, and I know it's federal, but I just to have these, like, readjustment counselors during after COVID. Remember that? And then the money dropped, and we had to lay all those people off. There's still issues in the schools.
Yeah.
You know, attendance is still kind of an issue. There's, you know, there's behavior. There's all kinds of things. And I would really think that perhaps the state could fund some more.
We try to. It's interesting you say this, because just in the last week, we had a meeting with the school committees, excuse me, of Berkshire County, Berkshire delegation did. Yeah, and they're talking about funding issues. They're talking about, I think they call it special education circuit breaker. So people that don't know what that is, when special ed costs get out of control for a city or town, there's a limit, and there's a point where the state kicks in to try to hold the community harmless. But I guess an issue for Pittsfield specifically had to do with the transportation component. And some of the rural communities actually do better if they're regionalized. They get a little extra money for transportation, and the city of Pittsfield does not. Yeah, so trying to figure that out, trying to figure out money for vocational education. So if you're in Peru or Dalton, and you want to go to learn about agriculture, you got to go to that Smith Oak over in Northampton, and that's a hike. So that can get expensive for a little town. And then you're right. So with the federal funding programs, as they exhaust, and there's places where things were programs were shown to be like really valuable, really effective. School lunches was one of those things.
Right.
The state has been, yeah, the state's been trying to step in. But of course, as I always like to say, our budget has to be in balance. And so there's places we kind of fall behind. I read a good letter to the editor, or maybe it was an op-ed in the Eagle. And it's only the online Eagle on Mondays, but it was talking about investment and what investment has meant in terms of like bridges.
Yeah.
So even
yeah.
not to change the subject, but
no.
Just the level of funding that is required for some of these projects.
Yeah.
And how that can come and go depending on what Congress does, where we stand. And even with the rural school aid, we got that up to 16.5. So that's million. That's tripled in my first two years in the Senate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, we really need that to get over 50 million, but we don't want to do what you just said. If we jump to 50 and we can't fund it next year, you can't cut something after. So like trying to find that level is so important that no one, you don't want layoffs. You said that word is like, we don't want that. If people are doing a good job, we don't want that.
Well, you can remember when Jimmy Roberto took over here as mayor many years ago, he did a great job because teachers were getting hired and laid off in 2 years or hired and laid off the following year. And they stabilized that. And I think that's your initiative is to, yes, if we put it in, we're going to put it in and fund it.
Yeah.
A significant amount of time.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
Yep.
For the listeners, I just would say that's real progressive in the best sense of the word thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And you got to qualify that progressive thing, but I told somebody I was a progressive. I got an email and they said, yeah, right after Stalin. I don't know what they meant by that. But, one of the other things that came up, and I actually think, I think I agree with this, and I throw it out to you because you're a lawyer, and I don't hold that against you, but and you have a PhD. I spoke to your mother about the lawyer piece. There may be on the advisory committee at Nessie or Bessie or Goofy, whatever they call it, the schools, maybe they should have some superintendents.
Mm. Mm.
Doobie people, I call them, boots on the ground people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've sat on a lot of committees and, you know, you have the PhDs and everything, and it's nice to talk in platitudes, but we're the guys that you got to put it together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Practitioners are usually helpful with any kind of these commissions, any kinds of these. Yeah. Yeah. These regulatory bodies that are charged with interpreting law and turning it into regulation. If you just pick people off the street that never were involved.
Right.
You know, you probably want a couple of fresh sets of eyes, but like you should have some experts.
Oh, absolutely. Too, so I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right is what I'm trying to tell you. Well, it's a long way of saying, I think you're right.
Well, thank you. And then could you say it a little louder? Cause the bride's upstairs. I'd like her to hear that. But seriously, and I'll give you a real life example. I worked with a wonderful team of people in the 90s for the DOJ. And I see where they were putting together a program to deal because they were adjudicating these, violent juveniles and sending them to the penitentiary. Well, penitentiaries are made for adults.
Right.
And they put together a team of juveniles and adults and blah, blah, blah. And we come up with this magnificent plan. Really, it was my. So I said, well, see y'all. And they said, where are you going? I said, why? And they said, you're going to implement it. And you know, and I know, because from your real world life experience working, a plan looks great on paper till you try to implement it. And then all these little things start popping up. And I think that can be the way for a lot of bureaucracies.
Absolutely.
It looks good.
Yeah. Even the political element. So whether it's Congress, the legislature, whoever it is, you have in the Senate, we'll just use the Senate because that's where it happened to be. You have 40 of us. So you need 21 if you want something passed. And so sometimes to get those 21 votes, you maybe use language that appeals to many, but is a little more vague. And then that's where the bureaucracy, if the guidance they're receiving is too vague and they don't have expertise, that's where sometimes regulations seem to run contrary to what the intention
Yes.
that the people that were elected by the people maybe are after. So yeah, it gets, on paper is one thing, you're right. Even like the budget on
Yeah.
paper is a bunch of numbers. In real life, we're talking about things that affect people's lives every single day,
Yeah.
and that's what's important.
Yeah, and I have to just go back and again, what you did, you and the State House did to get free lunches and free meals. To me, that should always be part of your legacy, because you know and I know that there are kiddos. I used to see it at Taconic when that breakfast Monday morning. Do not be standing in the way of the kids getting off the bus in the cafeteria. Because you'll have footprints on your head. And it just always bothered me. I'm knock on wood, I've never been hungry, but well, as growing up and stuff, but watching these kids and having that to me is what government's about.
Yeah, and it gives you the perspective. And when I was a rep, I had the city of Greenfield, and
Yep.
I went in to, I believe it was elementary school, and it was in the earlier stages of this, because so it wasn't permanent yet, it wasn't universally available. And they had the breakfast, and they said what you said, and I said, wow. And they said to me, well, for some of these kids, the last thing they ate was Friday when they left here. And I
That's
was like,
exactly right.
yeah. And I thought back, and people that know my story, there was tough times, and there was
Yeah.
days when I was at the lunchroom,
Yep.
and I wouldn't get the lunch because I didn't want to show the card that said you were poor,
Yep.
and a lot of us did that. And but I went home, there was food for me, and over the weekend there was food. I didn't starve. It was uncomfortable during the day, but to think of that there's the perspective of, you thought you had it bad, and there are so many out there that have it worse.
Oh.
And just to think of these kids, and then they're literally kids, and they're
Yeah.
trying to learn. And I can't even imagine. And so, yeah, making sure that that is permanent, that that stays funded, is extremely important to me.
Right.
And I think it should be important to people of the state, because,
Everybody.
yeah, kids
Everybody.
that,
Ta taxpayers, politicians, everybody. Because I was hungry overseas and but never as a child, but I grew up in the North End and there were kids there, that would ask you, hey, can you buy my lunch or, whatever. And or share your lunch and I buy it. But could you, hey, you gonna eat that, all of it, And I can think of right off the top of my head, two of them right now. And what do you think the, and I always ask you this, and you always have a wonderful answer. What do you think the biggest challenges for the state in the next 2 years are going to be?
There's still the housing issue. We got a poll. The Senate, I don't know who does it, but someone, the Senate president or somebody, commissions a poll, and it asks people of the state, and UMass did it, so I was happy about that. UMass conducted the poll. I think they asked
Oh,
800
cool.
people. Yeah, like, what did they think the biggest issue was? And they display it as like one of these word diagrams, if you've ever seen that. And so the word that jumps out was actually housing. One was affordability.
No.
And what was the other one that was like the third? Environment was pretty high up there.
Yeah.
But I think when economics gets in the way, whether people like to hear this or not, when you're worried about your job, when you're worried about your living situation, when you're worried about food, suddenly that becomes the number one thing. And I certainly can't blame anyone for that. So yeah, I think housing and affordability remains a big issue. Transportation is a big issue, and it's a big issue on both parts of the state. So for
Yeah.
us, yeah, expanding service, getting us connected. Even I was talking with the Greenfield paper, about a project in Great Barrington where the microtransit that the towns are working together to try to have a like a little regional service to tie into the BRTA. And, but then you got the MBTA, and on one hand, you know, I want to say, well, it's a disaster, start over. And on the other hand, it's like a million people rely on it. So it's it that's going to be an issue. And the governor has to file our bond bills, and she didn't file one this session for transportation. Yeah, so I think transportation bond is going to be a big issue coming into next session.
Well, every time I subscribe to the Globe Online, and I think your first advice was better, but it has to be done strategically. Redo the T. I mean, they just had another what wreck last weekend or last week at the end of last week. Guy was supposedly going too fast. I mean, I think it's throwing good money after bad, personally. That's just my opinion. I'm not, but just though they can't keep it running all the routes at one time for very long.
Yeah, they shut down the Green Line for a while. They shut down, I think, the Red Line, and you know, they shut it down to do work on it. But I say in deference, we have the oldest continuous underground subway in the country. But unfortunately, it runs like that. So you know, it's expensive. And then we were saying earlier, the bridges, like there's these small bridges throughout the region that when they start to get into disrepair, you know, it's an issue. I forget which, I think it's in the town of Roe. There's two households that are on the wrong side of a bridge that is failing, and if it fails, you know what? What do we do? You know, it's not great.
The how about the I know there's a lot of talk about immigrations, and I right up front, my grandparents immigrated from Ireland, so but what's gonna happen? Do you
I think once the election's over, that Congress and the president in the lame duck session will do something. I hope, I really hope, regardless of how the election turns out. Because I mean, something has to happen. And they were very close to an agreement, and then they didn't have one. And I'm hearing less talk of the cost to the state of Massachusetts. I know we've been hoping the federal government would kick in some money for the problem that they've kind of left. So hopefully the surge is dying down, and we will continue to die down, at least locally. That was actually in the poll, was that the majority of people in Massachusetts strongly support, believe it or not, the right to shelter thing. So that's we're the only state that has this right to shelter law for families with kids. So I don't think that's going anywhere anytime soon, but the governor's been managing the specifics and trying to make it a little more workable and not a free for all. And I think that's important.
I don't envy her. I really don't. I think it is a very complex, multidimensional, all kinds of moving parts. And it's there's not one fix. I think people are looking for a while, just due to the new immigration law. For what? They're already here. That's to me. I guess what bothers me though, even more so, I watched this morning, and now the majority of the are unaccompanied children. Yeah, that was I don't know what news. I jump in the mornings because I try to get a wide berth of what everybody's saying. And that was one of the stations that said one of the Border Patrol people, they were reporting that. So the how's the railroad coming? I'm not a young guy, case you, and I'd like to be able to take the train to my Boston hospital visits. Will it be
Oh,
here
that would be
when I'm here?
that'll be yeah, you don't know if it'll be here when I'm here. I mean, there's what they're saying realistically is that the Springfield portion And that includes something that goes down into Hartford and New Haven, but Boston to Springfield, that is expected to be ready by 2029. And that's 5 years from now. That's a while.
I'll need a
And
train 5 years from now.
what we've been asking for is as much as possible, why not do the portion from Springfield to Albany at the same time? And they are doing work, they're doing prep work. They certainly have not taken us off the table, but I would say I would be shocked if a train is running to Pittsfield by 2029. The date they gave us was, I think, 2035, which
Oh, I won't be here.
I was gonna say,
And if
isn't
I am, I
forever.
won't know if it's a train or a banana. So, but well, at
But
least it's progressing, right? I mean, it
it's,
hasn't stopped.
yes, that's the thing, is no one said this is unrealistic. No one said we're not going to do it. The governor and the governor's administration, they hired a person that is the Western Mass Rail Coordinator, so there is a position
Oh,
dedicated
wow.
to it. And yeah, they're calling it Compass Rail, and the idea is that the whole state, northeast, south, and west, would be connected. And so you have the importance of getting this train to Pittsfield and then on to Albany, where you can then connect to New York or anywhere else in
Yeah,
the world,
right.
and
Yeah.
then there's also the corridor along Route 2 that, we also think is important, and that one seems to be maybe falling by the wayside a little more from the administration perspective. And so we keep, and I'll give Representative Barrett a lot of credit. He keeps pounding that drum. He
Oh, he does.
has a bet with his father. He said he was there with his father. I don't know how old he was. He must have been younger than a teenager, and they saw the last train
Yeah.
from, and his father told him you'll never see it again. So he, I think he really wants to prove his father
Rather wrong.
in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, I was with my father when they were starting to tear down Union Station in Pittsfield, and he said, "I want you to remember this. They'll curse the day they did this." And believe me, a lot of people have said, "That would have been, what a magnificent sight that would have been for a retail outlet." Like, because that's what other places have done. Kansas City is a beautiful, look at DC's got a beautiful, so anyhow, but now, as we go forward and with all these rail, and I can't, anything I can do to ever help push that, let me know. I will do it. Because I hear all these environmentalists and they're saying, wow, what if we got to relocate a polywog? They're not going to know. Really, I talked to polywogs in the past. They don't care where they live. But think of them. I'm just thinking, you're really an environmentalist. Think of the thousands of toxic fumes that won't be coming from cars.
Yeah, that's true. The savings of fuel, electricity, all of it, I
Oh.
think are immense. The exhaust, you're right, is completely different, significantly less. I think the important thing is that beyond legislators, beyond Congressman Neal, beyond Senators
Right.
Warren and Markey, I know the mayor advocates for it, that we as a community just keep our voices saying we are still watching, we're paying attention, don't
Right.
forget about us.
Yep. And I try to do that as much as possible to bring with you and Representative Barrett and Representative Pignatelli, the mayors that come on, bring up these are issues the people care about. The big talk now is what is it? Kitchen table issues. Well, my kitchen
Kitchen
table
table.
is shrinking because if one more person tells me the economy's doing well and there's no inflation, I think I'm going to have to go up and have a lobotomy,
Well, that's what I was saying about we were talking about that chart and housing versus the
Yeah.
environment. Is like, yeah, when we care about a lot of idealistic things that are really important, but
Right.
when you're worried about what's going to happen next week, about your next paycheck, about how you're going to make a mortgage payment. Yeah, it suddenly different things take priority, and I think it's cooling off, but things are certainly more expensive
Oh, yeah.
lately. Yeah.
And you know, to say, well, I can tell you, the Polish princess and I, we've been buying the same things at BJ's for ever. We go there and buy the same things, right? And the price has gone up significantly. No, I don't think BJ's gouging us, or the people who make cold meat or half and half or whatever. I hope that gets resolved, because you're right, there are a lot of people, they are worried about the next meal. I spoke with somebody not long ago, and they're saying, you know, Bill, they drive to Albany and back. There's days I come home on fumes because I get paid the next day.
And this is the thing, is if it's happening, and certainly something has happened, and people running for office want to focus on how it happened. Like, you can give a lot of economic reasons, and there are, it's a very complicated, it has to do with COVID, it has to do with international world politics, it has to do with a lot of stuff. But all of that being said, no one cares if how are you going to fix it is what becomes the issue. You know, what are you going to do about it? And I think more people need to talk about what they're going to do about it, how they're going to get us through, you know. And ask Jimmy Carter, just turned 100, and that cost him, that was one of the reasons I think cost him the election, is they weren't able to get inflation under control, and it's
And Jimmy Carter, he was an honorable man. That's all I'm going to say. You're right. I don't think he had the best advisors, but I think his heart and soul were in the right place. He just couldn't line it up. That's just me.
Yeah, no, I think I lived through a very small part of his presidency, but I think you're right. And I was reading a lot about him because he turned 100, and it's a big milestone. And you know, it's but I think people seem to agree, as you said, he's a good, decent person. He cared, and he had a much more effective post presidency than he had
Yes, he did.
presidency. It seems to be the consensus, you know.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with Senator Paul Mark. And I will tell you, I don't hide it. I have the greatest respect for this man. I think I was his first radio interview way back when he was a representative. And yeah, he doesn't always hit a home run, but he's always swinging the bat. And that's the important part. And he's not swinging it for himself. He swings it for us. That's just my opinion, as humble as it may be. We're going to thank you for being longtime listeners, know how much I think of the senator. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, and on your TV dial, it is channel 1301 Spectrum Television. We'll be right back with Senator Paul Mark.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget. Even if it's not perfect, it's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance,
Ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here today with Paul Mark. He's a wonderful guy. He's our state senator, and the state senator for he's going to give you the square miles of his district. It's just a kind of a cheat here. It's larger than Rhode Island, but he loves to drive. Senator Mark, what do you, again, you know, as we go into the immigration thing, and I don't want to belabor this, but a lot of people are saying, you know, and I thought you, what I want you to bring out actually is what I'm trying to get to is, tell us about the poll about the shelter piece. I think that's magnificent.
So I think this is what you're asking. In Massachusetts,
yeah,
we are the only state, and it's been like this since 1984, we have a right to shelter. So if you find yourself out of housing and you have children, if you're a family and you show up to one of these agencies, you are guaranteed shelter. And so normally this works pretty well. Of course, it has a price tag attached to it, but that's what we've decided for 40 years as a Commonwealth that we do. And then every once in a while, and I've seen this is the third time I've seen this in 14 years, and I think this one was the worst one, there's a flare-up. So generally, maybe people will be surprised, but out of 7 million people, it's actually not that big of a number.
Yeah.
There's like 3,000 people that need some form of a shelter. And there are many others who don't know that they can access such things. There are many others that choose not to access such things that don't have the capacity. So, you know, the number is probably higher, but there's generally like 3,000 or so in the shelter system.
Wow.
And so I remember a couple of times it flares up and there's not enough space. And so hotels get rented.
Right.
And this happened, I think 10 years ago when Governor Patrick was still in office and it was a big issue. And then it calmed down. But right now, what we had happened in the last year, the last 12 months, for the first time that I'm aware of, the governor declared, well, we can handle 7,500 people. We never got to that number that I know of.
Wow.
And she started limiting some of the capacity that 7,500 was, you know, a doubling of what's normal. And we had to take, I think the number was, forgive me for not remembering exactly off the cuff, it was close to $700 million that had been from the ARPA money, had been from federal funds, and that we had hoped to dedicate to other projects. And unfortunately, when you're faced with 7,500 families that children need housing, that was the choice we had to make. And so that's where what I was saying earlier was it would be really nice if the federal government would reimburse that, because for whatever reason, and they have legal status, just to make it very clear, about half of the people in the system were migrants, and many of them were from Haiti. And so they were escaping various turmoil in Haiti.
Thanks.
Gangs
are running the country right now.
Yeah. So that's where we were, and we'll see what happens as we get into the new year. But it's, you know, it's not an, nobody suggested, never mind, no one serious suggested, let's just kick everybody out. Yeah. Like no one said that. You get people that talk about status, immigration status, and I would emphasize to people that emailed me, it's like, I see what you're saying, but these people have legal status. And if you tell me, well, they shouldn't, well, then you can think that, and that's your
opinion, you know?
Yeah, you're welcome.
They're like belly buttons. Everybody has one.
But if the federal government that is charged with immigration tells us
that's right,
This is what it is. And then they have legal status. And as we, if we read the Constitution, if you're legally in the country and you go to any state, you are entitled to all the privileges and immunities of the state you are now a resident of. So that's how it works.
Excuse me. Yeah. And I know I'll get hammered for this, but I, at this stage of my life, I don't care. I come from immigrants. I think everybody in America comes from immigrants, unless you're Native American. But I also think that we are a country of giving and understanding and caring. Now, that said, whether they're here, that's fine. What concerns me and should concern all of us are the gotaways. They, I guess this morning they said that some people from Iran wanted to come out and they got caught. So, I'm just thinking, I hope people don't mix the good with the bad when you talk about immigrants. I'm just going to end it at that.
Yeah, that's a good point. If people are doing something wrong and they're trying to come to the country to do something wrong, specifically for illegal activity, and I'm not talking about overstaying a visa, we're talking about bad stuff, then yes, they should be charged with whatever crime they're committing, and they should be subject to justice. How's that? That's a nice way to say
that's
it. Subject
a nice to justice. Word. And you know, I just had that a brief conversation to go us a little us off kilter here, but you've been with me for a while, and you know I'm not on kilter anyhow. But I was saying to the DA, his reputation that you know during the election, he was, you know, kind of like painting him as the hanging judge. And he's just the opposite. He's got all these programs and he's working with juveniles and addiction. You know, his thing is his philosophy is based. And you just said that word. And it, I think it gets lost so much now. Justice. You know, what is justice? Thrown an addict in jail for 10 years because he robbed, stole something. That I've been around a long time in the criminal justice field. And I can tell you, and I said this morning, and I'll say it again. I don't know if you read the opinion piece in the Eagle about now that the Pittsfield school systems have come up with a plan to solve the underperforming schools, they'll be held, you know, held accountable. They'll be looking at them. And I'm thinking, whoa, dude, that's a much bigger problem than the Pittsfield school system.
Right.
You know, there's, you got to get the kids to school. Is that the school system's problem? And I just think when you look at some of the issues that people simplify, Paul, it drives me crazy. They're complex issues.
And that's the thing. And that translates directly into politics.
Yeah.
When an issue is extremely complex and there's a lot to explain, people generally get bored and tune out. And a quick, easy slogan, you know, really sounds good, which is back to, you know, not to dwell on poor Jimmy Carter, but like you can talk and have a lot of lofty ideas, but if you can't deliver some action, people are going to get bored, you know?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think to be more, as you are, be more open and candid with the public. Where, you know, it's hard for a lot of politicians to understand. We have brains too.
Right.
You know, and
Someone asked me once, and it wasn't this year. It was years ago. It was probably 8 years ago, about having enough time. Do you have enough time to read the bills down there in the legislature? And I said, yeah, I do. I said, but you know, I went to three degree programs at once when I was working full time, so I read kind of fast. And then they mentioned not from our area, a legislator from a different part of the state. And I said, you could give that person a month. And they still wouldn't know what it said.
And it's like here, if you you can tell, I can tell by watching the city councilors who read all the supportive documentation. And they will tell you, the honest ones will tell you, they dedicate Sunday afternoon or Saturday night or just to read the supportive documentation.
Right.
And you're right. I think I've said that, we've said this before. If we could share the DNA of the Massachusetts legislature with Congress, we'd have a lot less problems. Because you're all not Democrat and all not Republican, y'all get along.
We do, and we focus, I think, more on how do we get something done. There's moments where there's strong disagreements, but for the most part, in the end, Democrat, Republican, whatever, I think we try to focus on how do we help the people that we serve. And it could just be that we're a smaller body. It could be that we all still chat. I don't know. I talk to my six reps most weeks. Yeah. Some of them I talk to a lot. Some we've mentioned earlier today. I talk to an awful lot, and some you talk to every couple of weeks. But we all collaborate.
It's an interesting world politics, and I think now. This is just my opinion, and of course we already covered all that, the views and opinion stuff, but I think it's in some cases gotten really out of hand, in my opinion. If I were running for office, I wouldn't cut up the other person. I'd tell you what I'm gonna do. That's what you do.
And someone's asked me that too. Is like a friend of mine that had worked with the phone company. He's like, "Do you ever have to, vote for your party over what you believe in?" It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. But it's Massachusetts. It's different, and for better or for worse, I'm in the majority, so it's just different. It's a different situation. Yeah. You see some of these people in Congress, and I know that they're smart, like people that went to Harvard and wherever, and this is both parties, both major parties, and they're just saying things like, there's no way you believe that. I hope you don't believe that,
I used to have a friend that used to say, he was from Texas, and he would say to me, Bill, you see that person there? Yeah, he's so dumb it's like ignorance gone to seed. And you're right. There are people that I know people, and they say, "Oh, I'm for that." And I'm going, "I know you better than that." I really think, and I say this as a compliment to all the parties and all the independents and Republicans and Democrats, and in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I find it an honor to live here because we don't have all the nastiness, and maybe that's not the word, but it's the word I'm going to use. And the other thing is, we all complain, boy, was that cold this morning? Yeah. But we still got our houses. I think of the people in Northern South Carolina, Florida. And I have a sister that lives in Florida and a brother that lives in Florida, and they can't say enough about the governor. Because they're back whole,
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. It's we're lucky to be here. And so once in a while, someone says the one party thing, and it's like, we've always been a one party state.
It used to be
the Republicans. It was the anti-federal. Yes. Like, it's just how Massachusetts is. We'd rather get things done than bicker.
And Paul, you made an interesting point, because when I was a kiddo. The Republicans were very strong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jack Fitzpatrick down here, Red Lion Inn and that.
Yep.
One of the things, and I've said this before, too, that when people want to go into politics, I would highly recommend you read Tip O'Neill's book, Man of the House. Mm-hmm. I probably read it three times.
Mm-hmm.
And written from the soul. I mean, He, you know, the best part when the lady in Dorchester said, "How come you didn't vote for me?" She said, "Oh, hi, Mister. Oh no, I didn't vote for you." And he goes, "Well, how come?" You know, and at least she was honest, right? And here's what she said. And remember this: it's very important if you're going to run for, not you, but others. Mm-hmm. Ask people to vote.
Yep.
Because you never asked me, Mister O'Neill.
Right.
You know. So I think the Commonwealth is well. How much do we have in the reserve fund now?
It's over $8 billion. I think it's getting close to $9 billion, and we're reaching the limit of what we're allowed to save.
Well, put some in your pocket, in case.
Never.
Well, put some under the State House in one of those tunnels down there, but As you go forward this year, there's a lot of challenges that are facing all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the collegiality continues, because it is, like I said, I read the Globe online, and it's really kind of refreshing not to be reading where Paul Mark slams bang, or, you know, not sure. Yeah. But the governor, I think the governor's trying. I really do.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a tough row to hoe today, brother.
It's like I do this, and I look at her, and I can't imagine. I don't know how Governor Baker did it. I don't know how Governor Patrick did it. It is extremely difficult. Like we try to do a good job in 57 towns, trying to be accessible. You try to remember. You know, like everything that, like, what do incumbents have an advantage? Because if I walk into Ashfield, or I walk into Adams, or I walk into Sheffield, I know people, and you remember why you know them, and like they think of something you help them with. But boy, to do that for the whole state, 7 million people, and her and the lieutenant governor, the ability that when they, I find that they both recognize and genuinely remember a lot of people, and I think that's. You know, that's important, and it's impressive.
Yeah, and I think they genuinely care.
I think so.
I don't think it's just. And if I didn't, you know me. If I didn't, I'd tell you right up front. You know, but I really believe watching her and the lieutenant governor. I think they genuinely care about people and what's happening, and hopefully, you know, they're giving it their best shot, and that's all we can ask. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
and it's never going to be
so
perfect.
Angry at people. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. I just said it's never going to be perfect. No one's ever going to do 100% what you want. So if someone makes one, two mistakes, you know, give them a chance. If it's a pattern and they're always wrong, that's different.
Exactly. And or if it's a pattern and they're not listening to their constituents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, again, going back to man of the house, Tip O'Neill, a young congressman came up to him and said, "The whip wants me to vote for this. He's really pressuring me. But I back home, they don't want it." And Tip O'Neill said, "Who brought you here, son?" He said, "Well, my constituents." He said, "Then you do what they want.
Yep.
I'll take care of the whip."
Yep.
Yeah, and you've been through that as a rep. Oh, I have to say this before time runs out. One of your proteges is now, he's rubbing elbows with everybody.
Who, Joey?
No, AJ.
Oh, AJ. Yeah, AJ's all over the place.
AJ's like he's with the governor. He's rubbing elbows with this one and that one. Holy mackerel. Yeah, good man. He's done a great, I've had him on the show a couple times. What he's doing is so beneficial, and he's so committed to it. And I think working for you gave him a lot of insight that he might not have had prior to that.
Yeah, his work in the Senate, he definitely opened a lot of doors and definitely made him a really good, what's the word, networker, which, you know, just opens opportunity and puts the community he's fighting for right in with everybody else on equal footing, which is important.
Every day he's at it, every day. And as you are, And I know you probably got to drive to Duxbury or somewhere. I do want to thank you for coming on. And you know, I'm always here for you. And yep. If you got an announcement you want to get out, you're going to be at a place, have one of your people and I'll announce it, but don't, you know, give me a week's notice. Like you're going to be in the Pittsfield, or you're going to be here, bear, whatever. I'll announce it if you want and let people know. I will say this. I've never found Senator Mark inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was a rep, same thing. Mm-hmm. And the other piece I really give him a gold star for is the people he picks to represent him on his staff.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with a young lady in your Boston office. She was magnificent.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I she kind of laughed when I said, if he doesn't call me, I'll call his mother.
And she emailed me it too. She said it.
Oh, Paul, best of luck. I'll be reaching out to you next month as we, before we know it, we're going to be in the holidays.
I know, it's going so fast.
I can't believe it. I personally want to thank you for your service to the Commonwealth, your service to your district, and all that you do for the people that nobody hears anything about. And that, to me, that shows the caliber of a person you are. So
thank you very much. I'll see you at the parade, if not sooner.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be wearing, I'll be the guy dressed like a bald, fat guy. To Paul, Mark, to all my listeners, I have one important message, though. I have to read. Paul, hang one second. This is really kind of, well, now that I said it, I probably won't be able to find it. This is, I don't know if you've heard about this. The Halloween parade, we all know that's going to be Friday night, the 25th. Please go. And there's this veterans thing that's coming up. This is, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, Paul. It's called Veterans, You Serve Us, Now Let Us Serve You. This is from Commander Tom Landry asked me to read this. The first annual New Moon Lodge Veterans Dinner and Resource Fair, November the 9th at 5 p.m., Pittsfield Masonic Temple. Veterans and their significant others enjoy a free meal. I'll be there if it's free. Get a body like mine fasting. Smoked prime rib, double Cajun pork chops, smoked half barbecue chicken, potato seasoned vegetables, provided by Biggins and Diggins. And hear from the VSO and veteran service organizations such as Hope for Warriors, Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center, Dr. Andrew Brary, American Veterans Archaeology Recovery, a bunch of things. But you, here's the thing. You have to email, and here's the email, kkuff33@outlook.com. First, there's only 150 seats. I didn't know if you knew about that, Paul, but that's coming up. And I've not heard of this group, but I'll check them out. You there?
No, I said sounds lovely.
Oh, okay. Well, my ears are... I want to thank Paul, Mark, and I always do this, and I know it really upsets some people, and I didn't get an opportunity to do it at the break today, but I will do it now. This is my flag. All I'm asking you is, I have friends buried under it, I have acquaintances buried under it, and in the cemeteries, there's a lot of people, you'll notice them, the flags are buried. At one point in their life, they signed on a dotted line, they die for that flag. The only thing I'm asking you to do, don't desecrate it. Please don't desecrate it. And with that, I will say something else that upsets some of you too. God bless. And today, lift somebody's burden. Make somebody smile. We're all in this together. So be well, my good friend. Stay out of the hot sun. And if I don't see you before, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully I'll see you sooner than that.
Oh, you will. Don't. I was just trying to be kind. God bless everybody. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Paul. Be well. Say hi to Mom.